If you were here last week, you'll remember that I changed the sermon topic from speaking with you about Buddhism and practice to offering a reading by W.E.B. Du Bois of The Passing of the Firstborn. My intention was for us to engage as close as we can get to a personal experience of the history of Black life in the United States. Social critic Tim Weiss, you'll recall, who is white, suggested that it is by visiting these historic places of 1,000 terrors, fears, insecurities, and remembrances that we, who did not necessarily suffer these, might begin to understand and recognize the experienced history that underlies the institutional racism that plagues this country. It was not an easy reading to hear, nor did I provide much cushion for the internal emotional experience created. Sometimes I think it is important for us to sit with discomfort, with sadness, with the reality of a hard thing, even when we may not consider it our hard thing to sit with, because in fact it is our hard thing, the systems of inequality that are a part of what we live with every day. We may be sitting on the benefits side of that system, which makes it hard to recognize sometimes, but it's no less present in our lives. How long should we sit with that discomfort? As long as it provides a catalyst for something positive to emerge. And remember, you don't have to do it alone. Like the lights I tried, perhaps in vain, last week with our children to get them to focus together in one place, showing how much more powerful we can be as a community. We can bring out together the energy to learn and to work for a different way as we begin to understand what has been for others and what needs to be different for all of us. And this will take time, which means, similar to our season, waiting. We are in the season of waiting this month. And we're being visited, I guess, by some spirit. I don't know. Like I asked the children earlier, is it Hanukkah yet? Nope. And the oil will take 8 days to arrive, so we better get used to waiting for that. Is it solstice yet? Nope. And we have been waiting for this turning since last June. Soon the earth will turn. The Christian season of preparation and of, you guessed it, waiting. We wait for a lot of things in our lives, but frankly, I am often grateful for the waiting this time of year. We need a few extra days just to manage the month, right? I have a list as long as my arm. I'm sure you do too. There are so many things we want or need to do. The tree, if you get one. The holiday cards, if you do them. The cookies, if you bake them. Am I coming in and out here? I can't really tell. No? Okay, we're good. It can be a totally fun time, actually. It can be a fun kind of pressure that we impose on ourselves. It can also feel pretty overwhelming. Either way, this is the time of the noise of the coins we heard in the story earlier. It's the obvious stuff, the expected stuff of the season, the now Mishigas of this waiting season. It's in our day-to-day. We can't escape it even if we wanted to. And it's noisy, right? It clamors for our attention. But I'm also grateful for the waiting time this time of year because it encourages me to get off that particular merry-go-round, to be a bit more thoughtful, maybe a bit more careful. I wonder, Have you heard the cricket lately? Have you heard the quiet sounds of the waiting yet? In this season, so filled with not yet, there is a special kind of potential, I think. The possibility of folding into the dark, a surrendering to the womb-like place, of listening for the cricket sounds. There is waiting this time of year that can be about attending to the needs that move in the recesses of our hearts. The when sounds that have you wondering about things, how things might be different, about how you might be different sometime soon. Now is a statement. It is present. It is here. It's noisy, and it's important to pay attention to and to make time for. It's what we know, and it's where we reside. But when we're attending, that is, when we're paying attention, we sometimes notice that things aren't the way they should be, that things aren't the way we might want them to be. Things are not the now that we would choose. But we may not be quite ready to make that change. When is a question. It is an invitation, even. The when in this season of waiting is unknown, and it can partner our waiting in a most interesting and sometimes surprising way. It's not by accident that we have built these moments into our religious calendars. There's a lot of hidden human wisdom written between the storylines that we sometimes disregard. Remember the old joke about the woman who had lost her keys? She is busily searching for them under a street lamp in a parking lot when a man comes to help her. He joins her in the search, asking various questions. Is it a single key? Is it a keychain? So with their heads bent, they continue their search when it occurs to him to ask, "Where are you parked? Maybe the keys are under your car." "Oh, I'm parked way over there, like 4 or 5 aisles down." And he looks at her and says incredulously, "Then why are you looking for your keys here?" And she says, "It's where the light is." This season of lights and waiting reminds us that maybe there's more to find than your keys. It can be really useful to look or listen in the places where there is not so much light, before the oil is returned, before the sun shifts its axis, before the baby is born and the star becomes a guidepost. The places of less light can be instructive for us when we take the time to look and to listen, to inwardly listen. Listen to what makes us happy. Listen to what makes us sad. Listen to what makes us grateful or to what challenges us. Look in the places where the lights are dimmer. They are beckoning, but not yet filled. To ask the questions of yourself that will draw you forward as this season moves along. What did the traffic light say to the car? "Don't look, I'm changing." Should I repeat it? All this talk of quiet space, of the season of waiting. Our words from Tess Baumberger this morning. Each truth in ourselves that we encounter and accept, each wrong act that we forgive, ushers us towards our renewal. All this thought of listening for the cricket is an attempt to help us discover that renewal, the new possibilities within ourselves, new potential, new energy, new commitment, new life, new love. We need this time of waiting because the change is something we have to prepare for. The question becomes, when will we take this new and renewed vitality and make of it something good for ourselves and the world? When will we join our light when we're ready for it, which may or may not be at Hanukkah or the solstice or Christmas, but when will we join our light with other lights to shine brilliantly on those places that most need our collective attention? the same way that we attend to the now work, the trees, the cards, the cookies, we must find time to attend to the when work, because it's there that we are changing. It's there that we are becoming someone different, someone stronger maybe, bolder perhaps, more willing to risk. It's there we might become more willing to give up something, maybe. An old habit, a long-held hesitation, a misunderstanding. Trusting that if we let go, it will lead to something better, even if we don't know yet exactly what. This is not a season of waiting simply for time to pass. A friend of mine calls it active waiting. This season of holidays with built-in periods of not yet gives us the profound possibility of discovering something new within each and every one of us. Something lit more strongly than we dared to hope, something turning towards growth, something born anew of hope in our hearts, a cure for our sadness, a balm for our anger, a light to our blindness. We Unitarian Universalists tend to be a little bit jaded in the religious holiday realm sometimes. At least in the last 50 years or so, we have parsed out the historical implications of particular holiday events, reminding ourselves that, you know, a runner couldn't get from point A to point B in 8 days and back again, or that we point out that Jesus was more likely born in the spring, what with the baby sheep and such. Not likely a star guiding the wise kings, who, of course, could have been wise queens. And the sun's return should come as no surprise, since it's science, after all. Is that really the point? I don't know if there really was a cricket under the shrub in the middle of the city for those two young women walking down the street, but it's a really good lesson for all of us, isn't it? And if it rings familiar, then there is truth in that message. I've been reading Annie Lamott's recent book, Small Victories, Spotting Improbable Moments of Grace. Are any of you familiar with her writing? It's wonderful. It feels observant and witty and gritty and true. The title alone made me wonder about our inclination to spot grace. Not our capacity, mind you, but our inclination. It's like the cricket. We have to be looking for it and listening for it. And sometimes I think we Unitarian Universalists are just so darn rational or sensible or stubborn, we'd forget to imagine that the cricket is there, that grace is there. But it is, or it can be. We just need to be willing to listen for it. So here's my challenge for us, Theodore Parker folks, for the rest of this season of waiting. Let's each try to chronicle our discoveries, our felt and experienced moments of spotting improbable grace, of hearing the quiet crickets chirp. And let's think about the when of that capacity to move our hearts towards compassion, towards understanding, towards greater love for all beings in this broken world. Let's take this holy and ancient time to respond to the when of this season, so that at the moment we are called to act, we will be ready. In here, in our hearts, we will be ready. We'll be ready for the now because we have taken the time to learn the when. It is a gift of the season we dare not squander. Blessed be, and amen.